Welcome to Today's Main Ingredient, a program designed to help you bring local farm fresh food to your table. I'm your host, Mickey Useups. My guests today are farmer Tim Jaggers of Robinson Farm in South Canaan. Tim is president of the local Wayne Pike Farm Bureau. And our chef today is Travis Lugo, executive chef of the Settlers Hospitality Group, which is based in Hawley. Today's main ingredient is winter squash and a little bit of pumpkin. So we start off with our farmer, Tim Jaggers of Robinson Farm in South Canaan Township. There's a lot of different varieties of what we call winter squash. What kinds do you grow on your farm in South Canaan?
When we talk about winter squash, we're talking about one type of a cucurbit. And as far as the winter ones, we have them in a couple categories. We run butternut squash. The most popular is the Waltham butternut. Under that would be honeynut and autumn frost, which are becoming a little bit more popular. They're a nice big squash with a lot of meat inside them. Then we also grow acorn squash, carnival squash, and sweet dumpling. They're all of an acorn type. We do a delicata squash. We do three different varieties of that. Some are on a vine, some are on a bush, and then spaghetti squash.
What are you looking for in varieties when you're choosing them for your farm?
We choose partly what we like to eat and partly what the customers like to eat. As I said, the butternut are the most popular and the acorns. But going to farmers markets and talking with people, we like to have something a little bit different, so we'll throw in some color of the carnivals, a couple different types of delicata, because they're a very good squash as well.
When you're picking those varieties, how much do you have to take our chilly climate here into consideration?
Winter squash, we haven't had much problem with our climate here. We don't get them planted that early, so we don't worry about the late spring frost. And in the fall, they're generally finished up before we get too hard of a frost. Our biggest predator, I would say, other than the weather and the frost for those, would be a white-tailed deer. Love to eat squash more than people do.
Let's talk a little bit about how you get them started and when you plant them.
We plant them in a raised bed with a plastic mulch over the top, and that does keep the soil warmer. So we are planting them end of May, and then in between those, we plant oats when we shape the bed as a cover crop. Not only does it help for erosion and capturing some of our nutrients, but it also gives any of the squash that grow on a vine, not on a bush, a nice place to lay down to stay clean. They're not laying in dirt.
You know, that synergy kind of thing that you're talking about is something I know Native Americans would plant often three things together. They would plant their squash, beans, and corn. All of that works together.
Yeah, they would refer to that as quite commonly the three sisters, the corn, the beans, and the squash or pumpkins, you know, any type of cucurbit. The corn is a heavy feeder of nitrogen. The beans, being a legume, are fixing nitrogen from the air and putting it back into the soil to help feed the corn. And the squash leaves, by the time they start to leaf out, cover a nice canopy to keep the soil cooler in the summer. Because the one thing we never talk about is the soil temperature in the summertime. We always worry about it getting warm in the spring so we can plant. By late summer, it's starting to get pretty warm, and then we can have some drought things. So we worry about the cover of those leaves to help keep the cool, shaded ground to stay cool the way the Indians did. Any of our vegetables, we run a cover crop in between the rows to keep the soil health as well as keeping it cool so it's not overheating.
What kind of care and attention do they need as you move through the growing season?
They don't really require too awful much once they get established and they're growing along, but it actually helps when we get a hard rainstorm. It doesn't put a lot of water directly on the plant roots. It puts it alongside them, and that soil can then slowly absorb that water in. So we don't have problems with torrential downpours when we do it that way.
When do you know it's time to harvest your squash?
On a winter squash, the skins are a lot tougher than a summer squash, like a yellow squash or a zucchini. The winter squash have a harder, if I could call it a rind even, on the outer skin. The only winter squash that doesn't have as hard and thick a skin would be the delicatas. It is a winter squash, but ways that they cook that, they actually do eat the skin on the delicata squash. Different squash will have their different colors. So we wait till we have the correct color on them, the hardness of the skin, and then we will start to harvest them.
Tell us about harvesting. What are some of the do's and don'ts of...
The do's are try to get as many in a basket as you can carry. The don'ts are don't break the stem off and don't step on any other vines. The stem is important. if you break the stem off, it does have a spot where they won't keep as long. They will start to rot a little quicker there. So we try to keep the stems on. Usually we will try and cut them with a little pair of nippers.
One of the great things about winter squash is they do last them, but you have to treat them a little bit. Am I correct?
I know there are places where they will wash them in a solution with a little bit of water and some bleach to kill any bacteria that are on the skin of it before they put it away and store it, which comes with some regulation and water testing and such. So we don't wash any of our squash. We pick them when they are starting to be dried down a little bit. You'll see the stem is getting a little dry, and then they get sorted out and put on shelves and trays in a cold storage room.
If we were to buy a bunch of winter squashes,
once you got it home, if you're going to try and keep it throughout the winter, it probably wouldn't hurt to do that. You want a lot of ventilation, so you don't want to put it in a damp basement. But it could be all right in a cool basement or a dry area. But you want a little air movement.
How long have you been able to get your winter squash to hold?
By Christmas time, we'd like to have most all of our winter squash sold off and then just our own stockpile for ourselves. We've had them up into March, like a butternut squash would stay that long.
Well, what's your favorite winter squash?
That's a good question, because I myself, my favorite is a buttercup squash. And actually this year, we did not plant any buttercup squash. So we didn't even plant my own favorite one. After that, I'd have to say the standby butternut is always good to cube up or have.
Well, Tim Jaggers of Robinson Farm in South Canaan Township, so glad to have you today to talk about winter squash and the popular pumpkin. So now we move on to our chef, Travis Lugo, executive chef at Settlers Hospitality Group. They're based in Hawley. Welcome to the program. So glad you could join us.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. It's quite the pleasure.
So Travis, let's start out by finding out what is your favorite winter squash in the kitchen?
My favorite, I'm going to have to go with, is probably the classic butternut, just because it's something that I was brought up in kitchens cooking from a young age. However, there are newer varieties of squash out there like delicata.
What's your favorite way to prepare that?
Well, there's a couple different ways. There's always the classic butternut squash soup, which like just reminds me of Thanksgiving and reminds me of my grandmother and reminds me of home. There is a Jamaican dish, which I think is really cool. It's called potato yasara. It's made with sweet potato, and I do a play of it with butternut squash as well. You take the sweet potatoes and the butternut squash, and you braise them down together. You start them in a pan, you caramelize them with a little bit of sugar and butter, and you start to hit them with your chilies and your seasonings, and you cook them down in either vegetable stock or chicken stock. And you reduce the stock until it's a little bit thicker, and then you finish the whole dish with butter. It's nice because it's a versatile dish. You could literally put it on the side of chicken. You could put it with beef. You could actually top soup with it. You could serve it with just rice as a vegetarian dish.
What are some of the other ways that you like to cook it?
Butternut squash to me is pretty rad because you can do a lot of different things with it. When I make different types of hashes, sweet potato, apple, onions, and you can make kind of like a fall harvest hash and serve it alongside either duck or lamb or different cuts of beef.
How do you choose a squash to use in a dish? Does it depend on the recipe?
I think it depends to me on two things, really, the texture and flavor you're looking to strive for. I think if I was trying to go for something that's a little bit more delicate, I would stick with something like the delicata squash. For instance, like if you're going to roast a squash to put in with a salad, I think delicata goes great. If you're looking for something that has a unique texture, I think spaghetti squash is awesome because you can roast it and peel it with a fork and make strands of it.
We're talking about the delicata squash, and that's kind of one of the newly popular varieties. And that's one that you can eat the skin?
I don't think there's any other squash that I know of that's solely a winter squash that you could eat the skin off of. There's a lot of cool things you could do with it. Last week, we had an event called Storytelling, and we took the delicata squash, we sliced it down into rings. We then seasoned it, and we tempura fried it and made it into look like onion rings. You don't even have to pre-roast it when you do that. You can just go straight into the tempura batter and fry it. To me, like a butternut generally is a stronger flavor than a delicata or an acorn.
So it can actually stand up to more stronger seasonings then?
Absolutely. Delicatas in general, I like to pair them with like lighter things. Things are a little bit on the sweeter side.
So when you were talking about spaghetti squash, you said you liked it because you could pull the strands. A lot of times people get frustrated by the strands.
So a lot of times people will cut the spaghetti squash right in half and then they'll try and roast it and strand it with a fork from there. A much easier way to do it is to cut the squash into rings like you would a delicata squash. You punch out the seeds from the middle and then roast them on their side. Then you can very easily pull them apart with a fork, and the strands will be much longer and spaghetti-like. I think the other problem that people have with the spaghetti squash is they tend to over roast it, and then the strings become mushy. So you have to be very careful, depending on the thickness you cut it, on how long you roast it for.
Can you give us some recommendations on how thick the rings should be and how long to roast them?
I would cut them like a quarter inch thick and roast them for like 12 to 15 minutes. It's really something you just have to keep an eye on. I like to make sure that my squash is well oiled and salted and peppered before I roast. I think the oil helps with the process.
Do you have any tips for our home cooks as to how they should handle, you know, one that feels a little tougher, a little harder to get your knife through? Do you have recommendations?
I do. You have a squash and then roast it, and then you could peel the inside out with a spoon if you're going to puree it, which then you don't have to peel the skin at all. You don't have to take the skin off at all. But a lot of times you can get away with roasting the pumpkin or the squash that you're using and then cutting it into the sizes or shapes that you want and then peeling back the skin with a knife.
Do you have a particular winter squash or a recipe that you might want to recommend to a home cook who wants to try something new?
There are a multitude of butternut squash soup recipes online that they can find. I think that starting with a soup is a very good way for someone to become a beginner in cooking with squash. I also think it's a very good way for a person to be able to gauge how flavor works with them. For instance, with a soup, like when you're making your butternut squash soup, you could start with the classic mirepoix, being the onions, the carrots, and the celery. Add your squash to it and cook it down with whatever stock you're using. And from there, you could build your flavor profile, whether you want to go sweet or savory and what you're adding to it. I think it's a good way for beginners to like learn how to use flavor with these squashes, because you could always start with a little bit and add to it.
Anything else you'd like to share with our home cooks?
Don't be afraid to try something new. Every squash has its own unique profiles, and you'll never know what you like or how you like it until you try and try again.
And we could still, for a little while, recommend the winter farmers markets, which are getting started in Hawley and at the Cooperage in Honesdale. Joining me, as she does every week, Carol Kinnear. She's a registered dietitian and also community health manager at Way Memorial Hospital and Way Memorial Health System. And she's been along with us all through our 26 weeks of Today's Main Ingredient. And today she's going to help us wrap up our final show on pumpkins and winter squash. So let's talk about winter squash and pumpkins. These are things that are vibrantly colored, and I think that they're coveted by cooks because of the color that they bring to the dishes. But I understand that also makes them very nutrient dense.
When you have a food that is very bright in color like that, it packs a lot of nutrients, a lot of vitamins, a lot of minerals. They're loaded with vitamin A. They have vitamin C. They have potassium. They have vitamin B2, vitamin B5.
Let's talk about some of the ways that all those vitamins and nutrients are actually helping with different systems in our body.
That one cup of pumpkin has 245% of the recommended daily intake for vitamin A, which it's really good for our immune system because that vitamin A helps us fight infection. You know, having these winter squashes, pumpkins, even if you make a soup out of it and have it for lunch, you're getting a really high intake of vitamin A, which will help your immune system overall.
And these vegetables are also high in vitamin C.
Correct. Some studies have shown that increased vitamin C can also reduce our risk for cancer. What also comes along with vitamin C with pumpkin and squash is actually potassium. So when you combine potassium, vitamin C, and the higher fiber, it helps improve our heart health as well. It just doesn't have one benefit. It has many, many different benefits. Your immune system, it reduces your risk of cancer. It also can help promote weight loss because it keeps you full because it's a nutrient-dense food. Winter squash freezes really well. And then you can have the benefits for many months and still be nutritious.
Absolutely. So now's the time to get out there and stock up for the winter. Well, Carol, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your knowledge. We really do appreciate your input every week. You can learn more about Today's Main Ingredient and our guests, as well as find some delicious recipes on the web at seedsgroup.net and look for the Today's Main Ingredient page or visit todaysmainingredient.org. This program is produced by Seeds of Northeastern Pennsylvania to promote renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, and sustainable living in today's world. Today's Main Ingredient is made possible in part by grants from the Greater Pike Community Foundation, the Wayne Pike Farm Bureau, Overlook Estate Foundation, and is sponsored by Fertile Valley Farms and Wolf Spring Farms. Two local farms working together. Call 410-961-0413.